Hey, good morning, Hope Church family. Miss you so much already. Get to see a few of you at some points in time, but missing the whole gathering. Love you so much and looking forward to getting to God's word with you this morning. So I want you right away to take your Bible and go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, we're going to be in verses 11 to 27, and we're progressing in the parables of Jesus found in the Gospel of Luke. Right away, I want to give you the title of today's message. It's this. Ready? Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Luke 19, 11 to 27. Get your Bibles open and follow along with me. Let's read it. It says this. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately, he said, therefore, here's the parable, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been very faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You took what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And he said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Wow, there's so much in this parable. I wish I had the regular time slot to unpack it all for you, but we're going to jump right in and make the most use of our time. I want to give you the main nail of this parable right at the outset. I want you to write this down if you have a pen or jot this down some way. We must faithfully use everything we've been given until Christ returns. That's kind of the main point. We must faithfully use everything Christ has given to us until Christ returns. And so here's point number one. We need to see the opportunity. We need to see the opportunity. We all have opportunities before us to use what God has entrusted to us faithfully until he returns. That's the main point. But do we see the opportunity? Now, before we jump into the truth of the parable, I just want to give us a bit of the context and the occasion on which Jesus told the parable. I want you to notice it in verse 11. It says this, as they heard these things, what things? Well, just really quick. Jesus has just transformed the life of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And in verse 10, he conveys his purpose for which he came into the world, to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus just said. So again, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable. Why? Because he was near Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So that's important. It gives us the occasion and the purpose for which Jesus launches into this parable. Jesus launches into the parable because the text says he was near Jerusalem and because the people were growing in their anticipation of what he would do in Jerusalem. Namely, their expectation was that Jesus would arrive in Jerusalem to establish an earthly kingdom, to overthrow Roman oppression, and to set up a political reign. That's what they expected. But Jesus' plan wasn't to rule and deliver Israel politically. No, his plan was to rule and deliver spiritually. Not an earthly kingdom yet, but first a cross. That's what Jesus would go to Jerusalem for. So he launches into a parable to teach that, yes, he has come to build a kingdom. Yes, he has come to receive a kingdom, but not in the time frame that they have in mind. Instead, Jesus would go to Jerusalem to die on the cross, and he would be raised from the dead, and he would ascend to heaven. That's important context. The parable that he teaches then is all about what you need to understand, the time frame that exists between his ascension to heaven and his second coming. More specifically, this parable is about what true followers of the King are to be doing from the time Jesus has ascended to heaven to the time he will return to the earth. Let me stop right here just to acknowledge this fact, and not many of us realize this in the world that we're living in. Jesus has ascended to heaven, yes, and he is coming back. He's coming back to receive a kingdom and establish a kingdom. Jesus is coming back soon, and we ought to live our lives in light of this true reality, the imminent return of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice the text again, verses 12 to 13 says this. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this king to reign over us. So let me just give you the details of the parable. The nobleman represents Jesus Christ. The far country represents Christ coming into the world. The 10 servants represent all who would follow Jesus Christ everywhere. The 10 minas represent all that Christ has entrusted to us in this life. That's important. And finally, the citizens that he mentions that hated him represent specifically in that context, the Jews who had stood up and opposed him, but also all who would reject Jesus Christ in the world. Now, again, here is the point of the parable in a sentence. Jesus Christ came into the world to save people from their sins, and to all who receive the gift of salvation, they would belong to his kingdom. To all who belong to his kingdom, God would entrust them with work to do until he returns. Let me say it another way. We must faithfully use everything we've been given until Christ returns. We have work to do. Do you see the opportunities already? Do you see it? You see it in your own life, the opportunities that are before you to work for Jesus Christ, to serve Jesus Christ, to be a steward of all he's entrusted to us, loved ones. This is so important, and this is so significant. Now, in his famous book, Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper wrote this. He wrote, life is precarious and life is precious. Listen to this. He wrote, don't presume you will have it tomorrow. Don't waste it today. Now, I was reminded again this week of how fragile life really is. You've probably heard of the heartbreaking death of the 11-year-old boy named Jude Strickland in Hamilton. After being struck by a truck, the 11-year-old boy died a few days later. Some of you may even know the family. Now, his father, Jamie Strickland, said that his son's death is the most heartbreaking thing their family had ever experienced. And he went on to say this, I quote, just this past Tuesday morning, we were shoveling snow together before school, and now he's gone. He said, we're finding solace in the fact that Jude is now with Jesus and has entered into the joy of his master. I share that heartbreaking story with you to remind you, as my heart has been reminded again this week, of the fragility of life. That none of us are guaranteed
tomorrow. Not even a precious little boy is guaranteed tomorrow. That this is in fact a reality that's reiterated all throughout the scriptures for us. Don't waste any time. Do you see the opportunities before you to use all that God has entrusted to you faithfully until He returns? God has given to us opportunities. God has given to us a stewardship. God has given to us time. God has given to us treasures. God has given to us talents that He commands us to, the text says, to engage in business until He comes. To steward these opportunities, to steward this time, to steward these treasures, to steward these talents until He returns. So, question for you, loved ones. Do you see the opportunity, or are you wasting your life? What are you choosing to do with the time God has entrusted to you? Sitting at home, scrolling on your device, isolated and selfish? So many of us are there, aren't we? Or engaged in the lives of others, growing in the knowledge of God, being a blessing to so many? Well, what are you doing? How are you investing your treasures, your money, your resources? Now, this parable, important to note, comes off the heels of Jesus changing the life of a crooked tax collector named Zacchaeus. And I think it's important to note that in the minds of the hearers of the parable, they would have still had fresh in their minds that this crooked tax collector is now paying back so much of what he stole and committing all of his resources to taking care of the poor. He's decided now that he's a follower of Jesus, he's no longer going to live for himself and waste his life. He's going to steward what he has for the King. Now, how will you use your talents? How are you using your talents? To glorify God or to glorify yourself? Will you bury them or will you use them? This parable brings us to this crossroads right now. Are we wasting our lives, or are we stewarding everything that God has entrusted to us until He returns? Because make no mistake about this, loved ones, Christ is coming back, and He's called us to engage in business until He returns, the business of His great kingdom. We must faithfully use everything we've been given until Christ returns. We must see the opportunity. Finally, this. We must faithfully use everything we've been given until Christ returns. Very simple now. We must not only see the opportunity, we must seize the opportunity. We must seize the opportunity. The parable goes on in verse 15. It says, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. So, important to see that what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus pictures here, so important, loved ones. All of us will one day give an account to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? We don't talk about this often. But all of us will one day stand before Jesus Christ. And He calls us followers of Him, citizens of His kingdom, to engage in business. We see that opportunity now, I pray, but we must seize it, because one day we will all give an account. I want you to notice verse 16 to 19. It says, the first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Now, notice that not only will we give an account to Jesus Christ, this is what the parable pictures here, but something so important and overlooked. Jesus is also picturing the reality that there will be varying degrees of reward in heaven and in God's kingdom. The ESV Study Bible makes this helpful note. I want to share it with you. It says this, faithful carrying out of stewardship responsibilities in this life will result in being given a greater responsibility and stewardship in the life to come. This is one of a number of passages that teach degrees of reward and responsibility in heaven. We don't talk about that much, do we? That what we do in this life matters, and it has impact for the life to come. So while it's absolutely true, nothing we do in this life earns our entrance into eternal life. No, eternal life is granted by grace through faith. It's a gift, and none of us can earn it. But the truth remains, the sobering yet potentially exciting truth, if we understand it, that God hasn't called us just to sit back and wait for him to come. God hasn't called us to sit back and twiddle our thumbs until he returns. No. True citizens of his kingdom, true love for this king produces a life that is spent for him. My time is his. My money is his. My talents are his. And it is rewarded in heaven. That we will be rewarded one day. Notice now, verse 20 to 27 says this. Then another came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. This guy didn't do anything with what he was entrusted with. He says, for I was afraid of you because you were a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one that has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And in verse 27, so sobering. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Wow, wow. What is Jesus saying here? I suggest he's saying something so important and so sobering that all of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ must pay attention to. Listen and be very careful. Those who claim to be servants of Jesus Christ but never steward faithfully and effectively that which he has entrusted to us, time, treasure, talents, never use what they've been given for him. Listen, those of us that never use what he's given to us faithfully could be proving in our faithlessness with what he's entrusted to us that perhaps we are not in his kingdom at all. Now, this is something that is sobering and something we don't talk about very often, but I want to challenge you, all of us who profess faith in Christ, true citizens of the kingdom, true love for this king is seen in the faithful use of what he has entrusted to us. And if we are not faithfully stewarding what we have, it could be a sign, Jesus pictures here, it could be a sign that we don't belong to him in the first place. Wow, it is sobering. Because to know this king, loved ones, to truly know this king is to serve this king. And to truly love this king is to steward faithfully all that we have been given from him for him. To truly be devoted to this king is to use all that is his to begin with, that he's given to us to steward, to begin to advance his cause and to do it with joy. Joy. Joyful stewardship. In other words, true citizens of the kingdom of God live on this earth to see and seize the opportunities that we've been entrusted with for the glory of our King. I hope you're seeing the implications of what we're learning here today. That you have time, you have money, you have resources, you have talents. Are you wasting your life? Perhaps to find that day to be a tragic day for you when the king returns, that you've had no interest in stewarding what you had for him. It could mean, loved ones, that you never belonged to him. Really quickly, I'm going to end here. two things can be true of all of us today. This is so important. We need to consider this. You may be a child of God, and no one ever taught you about the beauty and the power of stewardship. And you can begin with joy today to use all that you have for Him. If you're a child of God today, then the Spirit of God will be working in your heart saying, I want to do that. I haven't been doing that. I want to give generously. I want to give joyfully. I want to use my talents. I don't want to bury them. If you're a true child of God, the Spirit of God will be working in you right now to say, I want to serve my King. I want to steward all that I have for my King. That could be happening to you, children of God, right now, but something else could be happening. Maybe you're here and you profess to be a child of God. But if right now you are unwilling to use all that you have for Him, you may be proving that you really aren't His at all. Serious, serious stuff. God has given us so much. And true children of God and citizens of the kingdom will use everything we have faithfully and steward everything we have faithfully so as not to waste our lives, but to spend our lives for the purpose of the great King, so that when He returns, and He will, when He returns, He will say, well done. Loved ones, I pray that all of us at Hope Church are taking this so seriously, that today could be a day where we say joyfully, all that I have is yours. All that I have has been given from you. And I want to spend my life. I don't want to waste it. I want to spend it for you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now that you would work in our hearts, oh Lord, to spend our lives for you and all that you've graciously blessed us with to use for you. Oh, how I pray that we would not waste our lives, but see the opportunity that's been given to us and seize it, because you are coming back and all of us who belong to you are longing for that day, oh great King Jesus. And I pray for Hope Church that when you return, you find Hope Church to be faithful and you would say to us, well done, and bring us in to your great kingdom. We love you, Lord. We bless you now. Work in our hearts now in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen.